This week on It's So Bad, Ivan Iron Man Stewart. Who is he? Well, he won 17 Baja 500s. He won 82 races. And he's a member of the Motorsports Hall of Fame. But most importantly, he had a video game named after him, named Super Off-Road. This week on It's So Bad, we add Super Off-Road to the endless list. Welcome, everybody, from our homes as we try to avoid the coronavirus. I'm here with Matt.
Yerp.
And Steve.
I am more than 6 feet away, which is great.
And also Chris. Hello, Chris.
Michael, hello.
How are you doing?
Hanging in there, man. We're doing this from our homes, so I don't get to see your faces.
I mean, that's the best part, right?
It is, yeah. I feel like it helps me.
Yes. So we are adding this game this week to our list. And what is our list? Well, it's a list of every game. The best games, the mediocre games, the worst games. Everything in between. We're adding Super Off-Road this week, which is a game that's near and dear to me. I don't know, but Matt, you suggested this game. Why did you suggest the Super Off-Road edition to our list?
This game is near and dear to me as well. I played it in many Pizza Huts and hotel arcades and restaurants I got taken to as a child. I played this game a lot, mostly just in the arcade, really.
I'm trying to remember if I played it back in the day in the arcade. I don't quite remember. I think I remember more so this game on the NES, and also when I got older, seeing it at Fun Spot was also a thing, because Fun Spot is near to us, the legendary arcade up there in New Hampshire. But everybody else, I know, Steve, you haven't had much interactions with this game.
Yeah, I've played it probably a few times over the years. When you guys were playing this game, I watched you were streaming this on Discord, and I was like, oh, yeah, this game. So that's about as familiar as I am with it. But we played a little bit before we recorded tonight, so now I know.
Yeah, and we played it hanging out before on the Nintendo version as well. But Chris, what's your history with this game?
So I remember playing this as a kid. So, you know, for listeners' reference, you and I have grown up together, and we're in the same hometown. We didn't have access to any arcades when we were growing up. Our town bowling alley had one, and there's actually a small arcade that had Off-Road that was in a hotel. That's it's a little hard to describe it without giving away town locations, but there's a hotel that now currently has a tapas restaurant where the arcade used to be in that hotel. But they had Off-Road and as well as the old WrestleFest game. And so I used to go there sometimes and with some of our other like mutual friends. And I distinctly recall playing Off-Road in both the bowling alley and that hotel arcade.
Is WrestleFest the one that's like the Midway Mortal Kombat?
No, that's the In Your House series, I think.
Okay.
This was more cartoony in the 80s.
It's kind of wild that like every hotel had an arcade.
Yeah.
Now that I think back on it. Like Holiday Inns and shit, they would have like a room that had three or four random arcade machines.
And like maybe like some pinball or something like that.
Yeah, something weird.
But I never had the home consoles, but, you know, like you mentioned earlier, like, I don't know who Ivan Iron Man Stewart is. I don't know where he's from, and I don't know what he wants from
Well, Chris, did you know that in his first race as a navigator, his driver broke his leg and he took over winning the race?
Oh, wow.
Oh, well. That's cool.
Was he just, slamming down on the pedals too hard? How do you break your leg?
Well, it's those... those races on like off road, they like bounce up and down.
Yeah, that's fair.
So did probably...
Did he not then have a navigator?
Well, I don't. Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know. I don't think navigators are. I think they're probably actually super helpful. But if you've done the track enough, I'm sure it's you can get by. But yeah, he won the race. He won the race after his driver broke his leg and he took over, which was crazy.
And then hopefully with tears, there were tears in his eyes, he shot the navigator and put him down.
I was going to say, every time I've had a navigator, a.k.a. My wife navigating, she'll be like, turn now, and we missed the turn. And I'm like, what? Come on, that's not how you navigate. So hopefully it wasn't that type of situation.
Luckily, now with Google, or Google Maps, or your Waze, you don't have to do that. So you avoid arguments with the wife.
It's
thank
true.
God.
Yeah.
Am I right, guys?
But Ivan Stewart, he also won 82 races. He won a record 17 races in the MTEG Stadium Series, which is where Super Off-Road comes from, the Stadium Series. He's also, most notably, he's a 17-time winner of the Baja 500, which I guess is a big,
that's
like,
wild.
Off-road.
That's like a, yeah, it's like a mega event where it's just, I think it's just point to point, like 500 miles.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I don't know if it's kilometers or what, but I know they have like a Baja 1000, too. And I think it's just in the desert, and like people die in that shit.
Yeah, they just go race the Sahara or something like that, right?
Well,
yeah,
no, I think it's Baja California.
Yeah, that would make sense. But, yeah.
That would make sense. Yes.
It's in Mexico. It's in Mexico, yeah. I think. Yeah.
Right.
So, yeah, he was Toyota produced a limited edition Ivan Iron Man Stewart Tundra as well in I think the early 90s or the late 80s, and he's a member of the Motorsports Hall of Fame. So he is.
Where is the Motorsports Hall of Fame?
I think it's online.
I don't know
where the Motorsports Hall of Fame is, but yeah, he's been inducted. This game, however, so it started in the arcade, which we talked about, released in 1989. it's a racing game, but it's like a single screen racing game. So for people who don't know what that is, kind of like Super Sprint was another one of these games. Other games that are like this is Danny Sullivan's Indy Heat. Also, this game's kind of like RC Pro-Am as well.
I think the one I remember the most.
Yeah, but that's not a single screen. You still have to track of the car, and it's only one player.
Oh, maybe this, I'm... All right, yeah.
This game in the arcades was three players with four racers. The fourth racer is always in the gray car, or the white car in some versions. It's Ivan Iron Man Stewart. He's always the fourth racer. So, and he's always the best in all the games.
Oh, so you're racing against him in all
games. Yeah. That's so cool. It's usually three players, but the NES version is four players, which because I think they had the integration with the four score or the NES satellite, the four player thing. So.
But didn't like the SNES have a multi-tap? Why would... I mean, that doesn't really explain why the SNES didn't have... four player.
Yeah, I mean, it just wasn't that popular, I don't think, the multi-tap. Huh. I think the Genesis version was three players. I could be wrong on that. But there are some other versions that are three players. The NES version is the only one that's four players, though. But this game was ported to, like, everything. It's one of those games from the 80s and the 90s. So you can find it originally in the arcade, the NES we mentioned, the Super Nintendo we mentioned, also the Genesis, the Master System, Game Gear, the Atari ST, the Amiga, Amstrad CPC, the Commodore 64, DOS, Game Boy, Lynx, ZX Spectrum, Genesis. So it's on, like, everything.
It was probably never put on a virtual console, right?
No, I think because of probably the licensing issues. One of the things that they also had on a lot of these versions was the Toyota logo everywhere. So that was part of the licensing for this game. So I think it's a lot like why a lot of old racing games, if they had any car licensing on it, they typically can't get it. But also you have Ivan Stewart. I don't know if he's like holding people up from putting their games on the virtual console, but that could also be a complication.
They should just make a Mr. Dreams Super Off-Road and just, you know, really... Let me get that squared away.
Well, I think the main problem is that there's Toyota. Like, there are logos in some of the games and on the box art and within the background on some of the racetracks as well. So
is there in the NES one? NES one we were just playing? I don't remember seeing any.
In game, I don't think so, but on the box art, definitely Toyota is on the box art.
The arcade art on the machine.
Yeah, and this game was originally created by the Leland Corporation, which was kind of like the successor to Cinematronics. Cinematronics is famous for making Dragon's Lair, Space Ace, those games. Do you guys know those games?
Well, Dragon's Lair.
So they had Leland Oil was his sponsor, right, in the game? Because he doesn't have a flag when he's on the podium. Did you notice that?
I have not noticed that, and that's probably Leland Corporation, the company that developed this.
Yeah. It's like Leland Oil.
Cool. So Leland Corporation developed this game, Dragon's Lair 2, and that's pretty much it. And then they were acquired by Williams and became part of Midway Games, which was the big shop in the 90s and early 2000s for making, you know, mediocre, shoddy games, I would say. Largely.
But yeah.
Midway Games. I mean, they made Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, I mean, Midway, I wouldn't say they made shitty games.
I don't think shitty, but they weren't making, like, top-tier games.
Did they not make, like, Gauntlet Legends and...
Gauntlet Legends.
All of Mortal Kombat shit.
Are those top-tier games, though? Aside from Mortal Kombat. I guess
NBA Jam. They're top-tier, like, arcade games.
They're notable games.
This is true. NBA Jam is definitely up there as well.
For sure.
So I was super surprised that this game is not related to Super Sprint, because Super Sprint, have you guys ever seen Super Sprint?
Yeah, especially, I've played that. It looks pretty, it looks like
exactly
a,
like
this. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that game was made by Atari, and this game obviously was made by Leland Corporation. They're not related whatsoever, I don't think. I don't even think the people who worked on them are related at all either. So they just kind of copied what they were doing. The big thing that this game does that's different is that there are nitro buttons and where you can make your racer speed up. But there's also the ability to upgrade your car afterwards, which was kind of like one of the first times you could do that in a game of this kind, this nature. So you could upgrade the number of nitros you have, your acceleration, your top speed, your tires, and your suspension based upon... the amount of money you earned from the position that you finished in the race previously. So, yeah, that was a pretty cool thing to do, and you could kind of personalize your car as you went.
I think when I play this, sorry, Matt, you go ahead.
No, I was just going to say you can also just prioritize the cash pickups throughout the race, too, if you want to just bank, you know, not doing so well on a race and then get bad money and splurge the next race.
Yeah, it's something we should mention too. Is you can pick up money bags on the track, which are start off at 10,000, and then if there's another one, it's 20,000. Then if there's another one, it's a 30,000 bag. And then there's also nitros that do the same thing in each race. I think the late races are what, four laps?
Four laps.
So, Chris, what did you have to say before? Sorry.
I was going to say, I think when I played this as a kid, like particularly in the arcade, I think like I didn't put too much thought into like upgrading all the different aspects of my car. I feel like I blew all my money on like the NOS, because I'm like, okay, I'm playing in the arcade. I'm only going to probably play like 2-3 races. And I just wanted to hit like the turbo button, like basically nonstop as I went around the course. And I realized this a little bit more as we were playing it recently leading up to this episode. I was like, there's a lot more strategy that has to go into building your car rather than just spamming turbo for three races.
Yeah. It's very, it's true. The arcade version is, and there's a couple things we mentioned about that. So it has a, it's, it has a wheel, it's three wheels on it, on the front of it, which makes it a pretty interesting and unique machine, but also a gas pedal and a nitro button. So, it makes it super fun. And the big thing about the wheel that makes it fun is that it spins endlessly in either direction.
Right.
There's no, it doesn't stop. So you can just keep spinning it. It feels so great to play that game in the arcade.
It's like a Tokyo Drift. Well, and like the cars drift too, and like the mud, and just the whole feel of it with the racing wheel is great.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of different version differences between this. The main thing is that in a lot of versions, there's more maps or more racetracks. So the arcade originally had 8 tracks, and a lot of the different ports have 8 tracks. But the Master System version, for some reason, I can't find out if it was released in the U.S. or not. I'm pretty sure it wasn't. Master System was the precursor to the Genesis here around the world for Sega. And it had 12 tracks in that version. In the Super Nintendo version, they had 16 tracks. But that one, that version's only 2 players. So,
it sucks.
Yeah. there's a lot of differences. I would also say, too, is that all of the ports were done by Leland Corporation, except for, I'm pretty sure, or they, like, hired smaller groups. But for the NES version, for some reason, they hired Rare to do the conversion. So the guy who did the programming for Battletoads did the conversion of this game. And he also he would go on to produce Viva Pinata Pocket Paradise and Diddy Kong Racing DS as well. So the guy would stay at Rare for fucking like 2 decades.
So how many unique tracks does the NES one have? Because I know some of them, you're just doing the same track but backwards. Is it still 8 or is it more?
I'm pretty sure it's 8. And by the way, that guy's name is Paul Matrasek.
Shout out.
Paul. We love
great
you.
Work.
Great work.
Paul, if you ever want to come on and talk about it, you can, you know, Michael drop the contact info at the end of the episode.
Open invite.
It is interesting, though, how the difference, variation between the versions in terms of AI difficulty, because some of these games have incredibly fast scaling of difficulty, and some of them are very, very slow. I think the NES version does a really good job of easing you into it. And, like, showing you how to play the game. It might take a little bit too long, but, for example, the Super Nintendo version and the Genesis version have way more difficult AI that scales super quick.
Well, and it's, like, random, too. It's as if it, like, gets a random seed per level of if Ivan's car is going to be fast or not.
And also
sometimes he just destroys you and you have no chance, and other times it's like a cakewalk. I've noticed.
I have noticed also that sometimes if you hit the nitro button, the AI will hit the nitro button at the exact same time. It's like, fuck you.
It's not a very forgiving, I mean, you know, disclaimer, I'm not very good at this game, as we all just witnessed, but it's a very unforgiving game. Like, you screw up in like the littlest bit, like, it is very difficult to come back from a mistake in this game.
Yeah, you can clip a wall in a turn or, like, get stuck on a rock or run into somebody, and it messes your whole race up.
So I have actually beaten the NES version in the past, and, like, fairly recently, too. It's not, like, ridiculously hard, but if you play it for a few hours, you'll get good
it
enough
doesn't
to make
seem
it towards
fun.
The
end. Yeah, I was going to say that, too. Like, this is a game that, like, I was playing it by myself, like, leading up to this episode, and, you know, I was winning most of my races and stuff like that, and then, like, I play with you guys and I get creamed, but it's much more fun, like, to play with people. It's not fun playing against them.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine playing this game by myself. Like, this is like a party game, it feels like.
And isn't it, like, 99 races to beat it?
No, it's not 99 races.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. It's like 30 or 40.
It's too many.
I don't mind it. I like this game a lot, actually.
Yeah,
I just think it doesn't. Once you've kind of figured it out, like, there's no, I don't know how much depth there is to it.
Not that there needs to be, but
yeah,
it just needs to be said.
Yeah, I think it's much more fun as a party game. You play against the computer and you just kind of keep hugging the inside track, and chances are you're gonna pass the computer. But, you know, when you play with friends, like we just kept experiencing, like, you kind of crash into each other, you screw each other up because, like, you're kind of just can't get out of each other's ways and stuff. But it's like a fun fun way to kind of mess with each other.
It's a beautiful car crash, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, the chaos is kind of half the fun. Like, having a couple of drinks, playing with your bros on Saturday night, like, that's probably the best way to experience this.
During a pandemic. Yeah.
Yeah, during a pandemic. Socially distancing, just as they envisioned in the 80s.
I would say the format that this game is, the way it's one screen and has just, you know, sprites that are moving along a track, makes it really easy to port to systems that maybe don't have as much processing power. So if you look at, like, the Commodore 64 version or the ZX Spectrum or even the Game Boy version, for example.
Yeah, I watched the ZX, like, a long play of that.
Yeah, ZX Spectrum version looks fine. It looks great for the ZX Spectrum.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty different from the SNES or NES version. But yeah, right, it's playable. It's
right.
It's adaptable.
There's a Game Boy version of this? Because I was going to back.
It does not look good, and it sounds miserable.
Yeah, I was going to say.
And also, it's not like a single screen. I think it follows the truck. But it's,
I've seen that. Yeah, that's
It's not... It's I'm not the greatest.
I'm wondering if I'm trying to remember back, like, when I've played this game. I feel like where I encountered it the most was probably on Game Boy. Like, my cousin's house, something like that. It's like, oh, I'm playing this game. Check it out.
Do they have other sweet Game Boy games, like the Mortal Kombat Game Boy port? Because,
you know, I can't remember. I can't remember that.
There's a bunch of WWF games that are terrible on the Game Boy as well. Oh, there's a lot of bad games on the Game Boy. We really have not touched any of the Game Boy stuff, which we should.
It just seems like... Why?
When you guys want to talk about Pokemon, red or blue, or yellow, I'm here for you. That's
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Fall of the Foot Clan. We should play that game.
Ooh.
Or Donkey Kong. Donkey Kong 94 is so good.
I didn't have a Game Boy for the longest time, but I did have a Game Gear. So if we want to talk about the Game Gear, I'm there.
Oh, look at Richie Rich over here with his colored graphics.
I played some, what did I have? I had Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, I had X-Men, I had Sonic.
I have a Game Gear that I found at a garage sale for like $5 where the batteries don't work and you have to keep it plugged in, but it still was $5. So...
That's what they say. $5 is $5.
Right. So this game spawned a number of sequels and tie-ins. So I mentioned Danny Sullivan's Indie Heat, which is kind of like a spiritual successor to this game, which was on the Nintendo. But there's also Super Off-Road the Baja, which is kind of more of in the Outrun Super Hang-On type game. Where it's...
Did you try it out?
I did not try it out.
It's pretty janky. I mean, it's almost like a Cruisin' USA feeling kind of game.
It's like almost 3D, but it's not.
Right.
Yeah. I've heard it's bad.
I think Cruisin' USA too, because you can like hit wildlife and stuff, but you lose points. And then there's also people like riding motorcycles and ATVs that you can like land on and kill them, and you lose a bunch of points.
Well, the 90s That's was crazy. Wild.
Man, you're just reminding me how much I loved Cruisin' USA. And Cruisin' USA. Yes.
Cruisin' USA is better than the sequel to this game, I will say.
There's also the Off-Road Challenge, and I did not look up that game, but I think it's an arcade game from Midway. But yeah, so we have to move on to the conversation. The conversation. Where does this go on our endless list, which currently goes from number 1, Super Mario 64, all the way down to... Number 73, Jurassic Park Trespasser. Last week we added number 70, Kim Kardashian Hollywood, to the endless list.
Well, I can't believe that didn't go higher. That's unbelievable.
Yeah. You can find our complete endless list on our Medium page, which is linked in the podcast description. But yeah, so where do you guys want to start this conversation?
Oh, boy.
There's like a particular area where there's like a bunch of arcade games which we could potentially start in, but it's up to you. Where do you?
I think this game's better than Super Hang On.
What number is Super Hang On?
52.
There we go.
Oh, I agree.
There it is in front of the Tapper wall.
Yeah, the question is it better than Tapper?
But there's two racing games that are right directly above Super Hang On, and that is F-Zero and Crazy Taxi. Do we think this game is better than F-Zero?
I do not.
F-Zero doesn't have multiplayer, right?
It does not.
I feel like that is kind of the crux of this argument. Like, F-Zero is probably the better game, but you can't play with people. And the fun of this is what we just did, playing with each other.
On the flip side, Off-Road barely has single player. So it's kind of...
That's true. That's a very good point.
But what do you mean it barely has single player? I think it has a great single player.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like... Cool. Yeah, I mean, you know, like it was like we were saying earlier, it's just not... you know, I think most everybody's like memories and enjoyment of this game probably aren't, maybe you excluded, are not necessarily playing the single player. Like it's the memories of playing with friends and
right.
It's a little, honestly, it's I think a little one note know, just playing single player. I kind of feel like
I think the arcade version of this game is the best version, and I think the arcade version is better than F-Zero.
Yeah, it's not that.
I think that the arcade version, just with the wheel and the gas pedal and just the entire experience of having the three wheels together is super fun.
Yes.
But I also think that the ports do that justice just as well.
Yeah. They're not bad. I think they are lesser versions.
Right.
Well, all right. It's climbing. I mean, so if we're saying it's better than F-Zero, it's now moved past 49. So listen, I think you could
have an instance where you were playing this game with a bunch of friends and have way more fun than you would ever have playing F-Zero by yourself.
It's a very valid point, you know.
I agree.
Take the win, Matt. Take the win. We're going up.
Yeah.
So is there a game above this where you wouldn't put this above it?
So because
I wouldn't put it above Crazy Taxi.
I was gonna say we gonna jump to Crazy Taxi there at 44.
Yeah, Rampage for me, which is 45. So F-Zero's 49, Crazy Taxi's 44, and Rampage is 45. I think Rampage is where I start to second guess how high it can go.
Do you think this is better than your cult favorite Hexen, Beyond Heretic?
I think this game is better than Hexen.
Oh, wow.
I like Hexen a lot, but...
That's some shocking stuff is coming out here.
If you could transport me to a Pizza Hut in 1998 with an off-road machine and a stuffed crust pizza, I'd do it.
These days, I would transport to a lot of places. And if there was stuffed crust pizza, all the better.
Particularly a Pizza Hut that's currently doing a Ninja Turtles movie promotion at the same time, just to release the deal.
Sure.
Let's talk about for a second how bad Pizza Hut pizza is, though.
Oh, it is the worst.
When I was like a kid and had a Ninja Turtles promotion, it was great.
I love Pizza Hut, but, you know.
Even when I was like 5, I was like, this is trash pizza.
Can I ask why you think Rampage is a stumbling block for you, Matt?
Because they both occupy a 3-player... arcade experience space in my mind.
True.
It's
weird how they're 3 players.
Yeah.
Because usually games are either 2 or 4.
Right. I don't know. I kind of look at games above it and they're all just a higher tier.
Right.
You know, like Crazy Taxi, Pilot Wings for sure, Diablo, Luigi's Mansion.
For sure.
Toe Jam and Earl. Like, I think Toe Jam and Earl is a much better game than this.
I would skip kind of
Luigi's Mansion.
Definitely. But Chris, you had thoughts about Rampage. You were on that episode, I believe.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, you know, it's kind of they're kind of similar games in the sense that it's like the single player is not the deepest. You know, Rampage is more of a city smashing game, but that's also a game too that's like when you're playing a multiplayer, you know, you have a lot of, or like I personally have a lot of like fond memories playing Rampage with my friends, where it's like you just kind of you're. The goal of the game is to smash the cities, but it turns into like kind of like a low-key fighting game, because like,
yeah, there's like a
you
PvP
and your friends
element.
Are just like beating each other up, and like you're doing it more for fun. There's no purpose to doing that in the game.
Right.
It's just, it's like, it's funny, it's comical, it's hilarious. I think there's just a... I think it's a little as repetitive. We're talking about two games that are, you know, the general concept does not change all that much, but I think there's a little bit more of either you can work together in Rampage, or you can just beat the crap out of each other for fun and then go back to like playing a co-op game together, that I think just kind of puts it a little above to me.
And Rampage, like, you know, has a better theme. You know, Ivan Stewart can only do so much for me, personally. Never met the guy, but, you know.
So wait, Chris, you think it should go above Rampage, and...
No. I don't think Rampage goes above. I think Off-Road goes below.
We're both saying it goes below.
Yes.
Ah, okay.
Seems like it's squaring in right there at Rampage.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you guys have differing opinions?
I could go either way, but I'm not going to fight you guys on it, because it's like seems very like similar.
I mean, above Rampage is Crazy Taxi, which is a similar, well, not similar, it's another driving arcade game. And I think Crazy Taxi has a little more to offer.
Yeah, I agree.
And, you know, has a better, yeah, it's got a good soundtrack, it's got its own aesthetic, it spawned, you know, better sequels.
I don't see it continuing
to climb.
Okay.
Yeah, we talked about it being a little bit of like an open world game too. Like, Crazy Taxi has some facets to it that I think this one does not.
No.
Yeah,
I don't think this game goes above Crazy Taxi. Crazy Taxi is just like such an experience where it's like one more turn, I really need to go and like try again and beat my high score, and it's like super addictive. But this game is not what Crazy Taxi is. But it's funny how all these arcade games are getting bunched up right here.
Well, you know, yeah. I would feel a little bit differently maybe if Off-Road had, you know, giant monsters in it, but it doesn't, so...
Of course you would.
That's a design flaw.
So do we want to make this game our new number 46 and push down Hexen and put it after Rampage?
Yeah, I mean, just to continue, like, looking below it, like, I think it's for sure better than Theme Hospital, which is 47. So then it's really just sitting, you know, 45 and 46 are Rampage and Hexen. Like, it could go anywhere in there, I think, below Rampage. So, I don't know, what do you guys, do you think it's better than Hexen?
I mean, I'm not familiar with Hexen, but if you say it's better than Hexen, I know how you feel about it.
Yeah,
so,
you saying that is all the persuasion I need.
Yeah, I'll take that.
I think it's better than Hexen.
I think it's more fun than Hexen.
Yeah, for sure.
Cool, so let's add it as our new number 46. I'm doing it.
I accept.
Cool.
Works for me. That's fine.
Perfect.
It's a great game.
It's very fun.
I wish I knew where an arcade machine existed of it.
Fun Spot. You want to drive up to New Hampshire? Although that Fun Spot is currently closed. Those arcade machines, by the way, I looked it up, and they go for quite a lot of money if they're working.
I bet.
So, you will not see one of those in my house anytime soon.
But you know what? You know, there's, for people who are listening, like, there are pretty easy ways to now play Nintendo and Super Nintendo games online with your friends, and while you're all stuck at home, highly recommend you guys do it. You'll have a good time. Okay, right. I guess nobody wants to follow up on that. You know?
my silence is my approval.
I was trying to leave a positive message for everybody while they're out there, probably, you know, in a tough time right now.
Hey, everybody, keep on social distancing. Keep on doing what you're doing. We're going to get through this. This is not the end. This is just the beginning.
See, and at least we have video games.
Yeah, I thought Mike was going to swoop in there after that, Chris, with that little plug right there. So I was just trying to clear space for that.
Yeah, I was left out to dry there with my positive message.
I apologize. It was not my intention.
We're good. We're good. But yes, thank you guys, Chris, Matt, Steve, for joining me this week. And we'll be back next week, hopefully, with another episode.
Thanks, all Mike.
Right. See ya.
Everyone, thanks, guys. Stay safe. Stay safe.
Wash your face.
Wash your face.